I'm not saying that we are still, you know, we think in magical terms. I mean, we think somehow, after all the explanations about how, yeah, you bring down the infinite revelation into the world, and you bring down God's essence into the world, and you bring down, after all that, it's still, come on, me, you can. Come on, okay, did everybody understand, but me, little old me, who am I, what am I, bringing God into the world. Who are you kidding? Ultimately, I'm just a bystander. And we actually see ourselves that way. That's the way we see ourselves. We see ourselves as the sideshow.
Isn't there something else that made us like think this way? Like, is that, I mean, like the pictures in the Torah? I mean, you hear the Nevuah of Mashiach. Oh, he's going to come a cloud and a donkey. It's going to be, and whatever. They don't have reason for thinking of this magical, overtaking.
I'm not telling you that there aren't Nevuahs and prophecies of the Torah which don't sound magical. But Kent, it ever explains that it'll be even more magical. It'll be even more amazing, even more unbelievable than people expect. The question is not the nature of the occurrences and the events. The question is the causality. The cause and effect. Means that I see Mashiach and Gula and every aspect of Mashiach and Gula as a direct effect of the cause that I initiate. It's a result of what I do. And that I took every Indian in Gula, every Yiyot and Indian in Gula, and took a Hirah and Masenu Avay the Senu from it, because the Avay has to be Me'ein Hashem. If we have to cause it, then we have to do the kind of avodah that brings that kind of effect. That is the kind of thinking that runs through all the Maimonides and Sifrei Sefer Torah. What's the effect that you want? Figure out what kind of avodah causes that effect, and do it. That's it. That's the Maimonides and Sifrei Sefer Torah. What can we do that will be the cause to bring about that, the desired effect? So if the cause is the revelation of Mashiach as a melech, revelation of Mashiach as a melech is through learning previous atayra, which is through Avodah the Mesiras Nefesh, which is higher than our seichel. That's how we merit those revelations of Mashiach, which will be higher than seichel. How do we prepare? How do we bring about the revelations of Mashiach, which will be internalized in Seichel? Through learning those in Yanam and Seichel, even learning those in Yanam that in and of themselves are higher than our Seichel, but by learning them and bring them down, in learning Pnimus HaTorah and bring them down into Seichel, that's how we prepare ourselves to become Kelim for the teachings of Mashiach that are going to come into Seichel. Everything that ever says, how do you do it? How do you make that happen? There's a certain effect. It's going to take place in the time of Mashiach. What do you do that makes that happen? So the same thing, there's a certain effect that's called the revelation of Mashiach in the world. What could you do to cause that to happen? Look for a cause and effect. What's the link? So when people are running up proclaiming the Rebbe is Mashiach, the Rebbe himself said, there's a cause and effect. Al Yudei Achrozezu, through the proclamation of long lived Chia Deni Amel of David Le'elam, you bring about his revelation in the world. Cause and effect. Not mystical, magical, very simple. Cause and effect that any numbskull could follow. You see, when you proclaim someone or something in the world, it becomes more revealed. Okay? That's not a mystery. There are people who mystify it. There are people who mystify it through saying Yichid. It causes, this brings about some mystical revelation.
It says it gives them life, so that's a little mystical, no?
The Rebbe said, through proclaiming his kingdom, his existence in the world, you bring about the revelation of his existence in the world, and once his existence is revealed in the world, then he can do what he has to do. I'm not telling you it doesn't have deeper mystical dimensions to it. Of course it does. Everything in the world does. Everything in Torah does. I'm telling you to mystify it. To mystify the obvious is to miss the point. Right. And we do it to everything. We do it to every single thing. Like you guys were saying before. You come to somebody's show, the Rebbe says every single person can be a tzaddik. So what do they immediately try to do? Mystify it. That's the first reaction people have is, let's mystify. Well, what it means? On a certain level, on a certain dimension, general sense. The Rebbe doesn't say that. If you look at the scene, the Rebbe says like this. If you think about what the Rebbe tells you to think about, okay, you have to fulfill your shvuah to be a tzaddik, right? So how do you fulfill your shvuah to be a tzaddik? Now, the Rebbe gives some brief suggestions on how to fulfill the shvuah to be a tzaddik, right? To think about certain worldly pleasures and to take a somewhat closer look at them, okay? So, for instance, to look at the worldly pleasures of food, take a closer look at them, what it's made up of, what happens to it in your system, and what comes out the other end. What else did I say? You take a closer look at what it is that you're getting excited about, you'll start feeling a certain degree of revulsion towards it. Again, now that doesn't mystify, does not mystify in any way how you fulfill the Shavuot to Yitzhak. This is the way of fulfilling the Shavuot to Yitzhak, and that then about other desires, about the attraction to women, the Alter Rebbe says, if you take a closer look, you'll see what you're getting excited about. You'll start feeling a little sick to your stomach. That's it. And he explains, he touches on briefly how to do that. That's it. All it is take a closer look, see through the Yetzirah's, the aura of the tantalizing aura that the Yetzirah manages to create around certain physical activities, and if you look a little closer at what they are, you'll see basically they're pretty sickening and disgusting and repulsive, and therefore that will be a help and a way for you to be able to actually experience revulsion towards them, not because of the physical, not because of the thing itself, but because it works to conceal godliness and to distract people from godliness. That should be really the source of your revulsion. But you first have to turn yourself off to the physicality of it in order to be able to actually experience that spiritual revulsion to it because of it. Okay.
Yeah, but he says you can't, and then everyone can be a tzaddik. So.
I want you to take a poll. Okay. We're going to take a poll. How many people have spent 10 minutes or more in their life fulfilling the shvuah to heat tzaddik according to the way the Alter Rebbe says the shvuah? Take a poll. Of all the logic system worldwide, how many people have spent 10 minutes or more in their life thinking about those things that the Alter Rebbe says you should think about in order to fulfill your shvuah to Yitzhak? In their whole lives. Not to
me. It's been about 5.
That's a lot.
5 to go.
That's a lot. Okay? So, why? Because we're trained already that to be a tzaddik is not even, you know, is out of the question. Dr. Rebbe says, even if being a tzaddik is, even if you consider being a tzaddik out of your reach, but at least you still have a shvuah to heat tzaddik, which means at least do some kind of effort in that direction. So that, we don't bother with that. Too much. But what happens? So what do? We mystify things that we don't feel like doing. We mystify them and we make them magical. We make the tzaddik, this concept, the idea of being a tzaddik. How many people are in the world are beinonim? Forget how many people in the world are beinonim. How many people in the world have ever seriously considered the possibility of becoming one? How many people in the world have spent 10 minutes trying to draw up in their lives, trying to draw up a plan, a strategy on how they can make the transition to Beinoni? Why? Beinoni! You know what a Beinoni is? Woo! so mystical, and it's like a whole different world. It's like pain in the ass. So what we do is, again, we make it so, we make it so lofty and so mist, we shroud it, so shrouded in mystery, that it's unattainable, and for practical purposes, irrelevant.
But you're off the hook. You get yourself off the hook.
So basically, now you get yourself off the hook. It's like not even interesting enough to think 10 minutes about. Like, it's not even interesting enough or relevant enough to put in 10 minutes of thought on. You know, the Rebbe says in the Maimah years ago, that what does it mean? The Rebbe explains, what does it mean that the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that this is Midas of a Shaykh L'chol Adam, V'achrei HaKol Adam Yimshech. And the Rebbe explains that what does it mean? You've already sinned in the past. So the Rebbe explains that it means that because you've got any time, you can do tshuva. Because the Rebbe says that HaRashus Nesunu L'chol Adam, everyone in the present has permission to change, that's it. And you can become a penny anytime you want. And that's it, you just have to chill, and that's it. Puff. 10 minutes? Not interesting enough to think about for 10 minutes? Why not? It's not real. It's not real. It might be interesting. There's a lot of people who could tell you who know 150 Maimonides about Pe about Beinonim. And they still haven't thought the 10 minutes of what does it mean to me. There was the famous story of the house of the Rebbe Marash that used to learn Shara Nun and Shara Yichud in the middle of Rebbe. Shara Nun and Shara Yere. And those are his two svarim that he lived with. And he came to Rebbe Marash, Yichidus, Rebbe Marash asked him, what do you do? What's your Seidah? So he said, he gets up in the morning, he learns chassidus, then he thinks chassidus before the davening. Then he davens, occasionally he stops in the middle of the davening to think about what he learned. Then he goes to work, then he learns something, and then he goes to work. He always has this farm with him, and anytime he has an opportunity, he stops and he thinks chassidus. Then he davens mincha, then yeah. Then comes Krishma Lamita, so before Krishma he thinks chassidus, and then yeah. The Marash said to him, okay, the whole day you're busy thinking chassidus. When do you think about yourself? When do you think about yourself? Chassid heard that he fainted. The Marash started singing a nigga, and he said, you don't have to faint. You don't have time. You have to do. He called in the shamans to take him out, and he was like smiling and saying, "Niggin," while the what's the point of the story? The point of the story is you could learn chassidus all day and all night. What's chassidus? This is about lofty concepts, it's godliness, and you can be busy with godliness all day and all night. But it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you, because it's so lofty and high and godly. You, there is no personal relevance. You're learning about these concepts, and they mean nothing to your life. All you're interested in is learning more concepts. You never took out the time to figure out what is the practical application of that concept in my life. So what are you? So you're just playing a game. You're just playing. It's a sport. It's an intellectual stimulation. It's what are you doing? Concepts. What are concepts? When you learn a concept, an idea, it's a way to how to perceive reality. Chassidus gives you different ways of deeper understandings of how to perceive and understand reality. Now you have to apply that to your life. You're just learning more and more concepts. What does it mean? It's meaningless. It's nothing. So yes, very nice. We know that you think about God all the time. What do you think about you? So he said, you don't have to faint. Fainting is also like, relax, dude. Once I faint, do it. You're learning all these concepts. They're meaningful to you. You learn them. Sit down and figure out what does this concept mean to my life. There's all kinds of people who explain to you what Mechias HaMalek is. Mechias HaMalek, the battle with HaMalek, spiritually, all the Hasidic guys, people who know all the Hasidic. Okay, did you spend 10 minutes trying to figure out what your HaMalek is and how to get rid of it? Who cares what Mechias HaMalek is up in Chassidus? It might be interesting, it might be fascinating, might be, but who cares? It's irrelevant. Are you doing it or are you not doing it? So the Rebbe says, I'm going to write a sikh. Everyone's going to learn it. They're not going to learn it. That's another thing they want to learn. Another concept. Another concept. A new concept. Tut aus was ich kann. New concept. Gewaldig. Sicher, concept. Now we can put it in a book, and we can print it, and we can put it on the shelf. We have another concept. A new concept is here at the Chassidus. So in the 300 volumes that we have on our shelf, we now have another concept. Lama lo. Revolutionary concept. Earth-shattering concept. But is anybody going to sit down and spend the time to figure out, so what am I going to do about it? Ad-Mazayad. What did I ever say? You have to say Ad-Maz? Anybody sit down and think, like part of Alunaga means, I didn't reach you, it's not real, it's so totally, whatever I said to you is totally irrelevant, you know. It doesn't mean that there aren't people who didn't faint, and people cried, and people screamed, and there was a meeting and crack about it, and then there was clues, and there was a they're real, they're genuine. No one's taking it away from them. Those were real, genuine responses, people who really, really care. But then I said, so what do I care? So you fainted. You were so deeply moved by this new concept, which is that every concept has to be applied, that you fainted from the new concept. But it's another concept. Now you heard the concept of applying everything to you. I'm not interested in reactions. I'm interested in, so what are you doing about applying what you learned to you?
What do you think everybody should have done like that? I understand. It's not an easy question.
What everyone should do? How do I know? You know what I mean? Did I do what I should have done? Am I still doing what I should have done? I'm not talking about the approach. The way. We're not hearing what the Rebbe is saying the right way in terms of what the Rebbe is trying to say. We're not hearing it. The Rebbe is telling us, Tut als was ihr kennt. It's not mysterious. It's not mystical. Don't mystify it. Ooh, what does this mean? This mumato mail, together, and then when the mumato mail and the mail mumato merge, that's the revelation of Atzmos, which is beautiful. And the Rebbe says that in the Sichas. You look through all the Sichas, Bamid, Bedvarim, it's amazing. So what is it? It's a new concept. That Malchus has to be Eile, that's not enough to be Mamshul Zah should be Yerid and Malchus, but the whole Tachlis is that Malchus should be Eile and Pneumis HaKazin should be Mashpi and Zah, and through Rashba, Malchus and Zah is Heshus Chalateres Bailon, that's the Gili of Mashiach, and which comes with Kecha Atzmos, and it's fantastic, that's Gevaldik, it's amazing. What? What does that mean in practical terms? So what do you do about it? You do that? You don't understand. It's Mamatalamaila, and it's Shuv, and it's Ratzu, and it's Ratzu and Shuv transcending. It never explains that that when you reach the point where Ratzu and Shuv become one, so then you transcend the limitations of Ratzu and the limitations of Shuv, and it's... So, don't you understand? I understand. So on. Who cares? What does it mean in practical? When are you going to spend 10 minutes of your life figuring out what it means to have your to transcend the limitations of your Ratzon and your Shuv? Oh, okay. Why don't you spend 10 minutes figuring out what it means? What are you going to do about it? I know what you can. You want to say this before the davening, and after the davening, in the middle of the davening, and you know, you know, you should go backwards, forwards, inside out, and you can explain it. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's amazing. So what? What are you doing to make it happen? What are you doing to set up a chain of cause and effect that's going to make the gula real? You don't look at it like cause and effect. The shuv and the shuv.
Even when the Rebbe said to Kach in learning in Yanni Gula Mashiach, he said, for the sake that it should transform you, not to be a bucky in Yanni for itself, which is good.
The Rebbe said it's not the tradition,
right.
It's a skula.
Right.
That it has a certain magical effect that brings the... But the Rebbe said that's not. Just direct cause and effect.
The person.
There's direct cause and effect. When you learn Mashiach Gula, you could change yourself. It gives you the power to change yourself.
I mean, that's
what
you should understand, how you understand.
But there's all kinds of guys sitting there learning Mashiach Gula, and if you say to them, are you changing yourself? They're looking like a crazy. You're learning Yanni Mashiach Gula in order to fulfill the hero of learning Yanni Mashiach Gula. But did you spend 10 minutes on this sikha figuring out how can I use this sikha to change myself? Like, huh? That's what I'm saying, that's what you're learning it for. People want the magical. The school, it's a school that brings the school. That I want to hear. Don't tell me I have to change myself. You're going to tell me, I could tell you that gold and diamonds and jewels are going to be like dust. That everyone wants to hear. Make a plan how to be wealthy. Go out and do everything you can. Do the opposite as you can to be wealthy. To get everything else. Do this one hira. No one's interested. Because then I have to work on the premise that it's real. You force me to work on the premise that it's real. That Jews are really shaykh. That Jews really run the world. That Jews are really shaykh to all the wealth in the world. That really all the wealth in the world belongs to the Jewish people. And all of this is what's going to really, really happen. I'm supposed to make it happen. I'm supposed to actually live that way. Really, get away from me. Go away from me. I'm willing to be a passive bystander and wait it out and see when it happens. And I'll enjoy it when it's here. You want me to go out and make it happen? You want me to go out and come up with a plan on how to get enough gold together to build a base on English? That's what you really need to try. Get real. And then I'm saying, yeah, that's it. We have to build a base on English. Do you know where the gold is coming from? Yeah. Plan. You have to have a plan. Where are you going to get the gold from?
That is a possible scenario.
I didn't tell you it's not. But it's not the way you're supposed to be thinking.
Because the Rebbe said to start planning.
The Rebbe said.
This is the way it's going
to
happen.
Your thinking has to be cause and effect. Not magical. You have to hope, you have to dive in the Mashiach that the Beis HaMikdash will fall out of the sky this way. But that's what you have to hope for and pray for and dive in for. But when you're doing, when you're living in your realm of action and you're doing, you have to live in the world of cause and effect. You have to live in the world of magic. You have to live. The whole idea is to be mamshich old and yonim, lamayla down into the gedarim, the rules of this world. And that's how you have to live. You have to live in the world of cause and effect. Wow, you saw a sikhla. That was just everyone could be a tzaddik. Wow, that's wow. But this, it's a wow, 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 but to spend 10 minutes I'm thinking about how to make it happen, that no one's willing to invest. Everyone's going, psh, wow, this one faints, that one this. We need to inspire us. It's completely irrelevant. A new concept. Everyone can be itself. Who cares? You have any plans on becoming one? You have a program? You have a roadmap? For 10 years, do you have a 10-year plan? Do you have a 20-year plan? Do you have a 1,000-year plan? Do you have any? It's not real. So turn around, to indulge, to have fun, and learning in the Yanim Mashiach Gula, learning concepts and getting all turned on and excited about this concept, excited about that concept. Why does the excitement fizz out? Why does the excitement wear off? Because 7 years after the Sirach Chavkas Nisnachem, no one's interested. No one's ever interested. Even the spyless at the time was only the spyless of the idea. It didn't translate into people sitting down and starting to think cause and effect. Take responsibility for making the Gula happen. In a world of cause and effect, if you want a certain effect, you have to take responsibility for it. You have to assume the responsibility that you will bring about the following effect. Right? Somebody hires you for a job. That means you're agreeing to assume the responsibility that a certain product, a certain effect will take place, and you will be that cause. You will have to come up with a way to bring about that effect. So you're responsible for it. Taking responsibility for making Gula happen means that I am now going to sit down, following the normal rules of cause and effect. I'm going to sit down and take a look at each, learn in Mashiach Gula to know what the desired effects are. And I will start feeling and living with the personal responsibility of seeing to it that those effects take place. And I will look for the, in the same Limud and Yanim Mashiach Gula, I will look for those things which are the causes that bring about those effects, and that is my responsibility. So the Rebbe says, I did everything I can, that you should do your part. You should take responsibility. It's the only thing left I can do is say, yeah, that's it. It's your responsibility.
In Gashmius, isn't the whole cause and effect thing just an illusion? In other words, we're always told that the Mesuva really has nothing to do with the Siba. It's made to look that way, like the Chavos HaLevavos says, that really the Yesod of Bitachon is to really know that they're nothing to do with each other. You have to do that, and that's a separate Indian. It is mystifying. And the Mesuva comes, but it's not Mitzad.
So that's exactly what I'm saying. Because you have to daven, and you have to scream, and you have to tell them Mashiach should come this second. And should fall out of the Shemayim, and there should be revealed, and that's what you have to storm for. And the Rebbe stormed that by every fabric. You have to recognize that ultimately Gula is from the Eibishter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have to realize that your mission in this world, what's expected of you in the realm of action, is the kind of effort which follows the rules and laws of nature, of cause and effect. You need to live with both. You have to realize that really it's not the cause which begs the effect. But the Eibishter wants that this effect should go through the process of cause and effect. The Eibishter makes the effect. We really, when it comes to Parnas, you have to believe that bread falls out of the sky. That lechem comes min ha-shamayim, not min ha-aretz. But the Eibishter wants that the lechem that comes min ha-shamayim should go through the seemingly natural processes of cause and effect. To make the illusion, okay, which is the reality, which you know, the whole reality of our world and of finite existence is ultimately on a certain level an illusion. But the Eibishter wants that illusion preserved. The Eibishter wants it to be a Dira Batach Teger. That's what Dira Batach Teger is. To live with the reality that Gula has nothing to do with the limitations of the world. But to bring it down into the world. Bring it down into the world means bring it down into the world following the rules of the world.
So, but according to what you're saying, the goal would be, the direction that you're going in, is to put more and more focus on the cause, and you know that the Yesod of Bitachon is to put less in it. In other words, the more a person grows in Bitachon, the less he focuses on the cause.
No.
Like in the Baal Shem Tov, like, when he would go collect money, so he would knock once. If the person heard him, fine, he came to the door. If not, he realized that it wasn't Minashon.
No. So the Rebbe explains that there's a higher level of Bitachon than the Bitachon of the Baal Shem.
Yeah.
And that's the Bitachon that's demanded of us. which is that you should work 12 hours a day. You should work hard and break your head on the good, and realize that it's all from there.
Yeah.
To reveal in the work that you do, not to stop working, just tap on the door, and then everything will come to you. Not stop working. That's not the tach. The tach is work, like everybody else works, and reveal that that's also godliness. The Baal Shem Tov's B'tochen still perceives the world and godliness as a contradiction. That description of Baal Shem Tov's B'tochen, I don't know, the Baal Shem Tov himself may have been actually on a higher level than that. I'm just saying, right, that description of Baal Shem Tov's B'tochen is still dealing with the concept that the world, the order of nature, and godliness are in contradiction to each other. Mm-hmm. That is Golos. And you have to choose one or the other. Geula means that I sit and work, I put in a full day's work, and I know that it's all comes from there. Because, and Eberstein wants it that way. This is also Eberstein. The work that I do is also Eberstein.
Yeah.
And there's no contradiction between world and God.
This still says Seter Eskakever. It's something that we aspire to.
Again, but Lamaisa is brought up to this, that Lamaisa prepared Mamash. I say Teresa Keva is not Bisman anymore nowadays. Lamaisa, I say Teresa Keva Bisman.
Right.
Okay, and now I say Teresa Keva is not Bisman. Bisman, most people spend more time. And in Bechlau, the Gemara says there is such a thing as Paragachet Shachas, Paragachet Avis. So what's the Teresa Keva if you're being Yates with Paragachet Shachas, Paragachet Avis?
Yeah, but you shouldn't choose to live that.
What's it? So the answer is that Keva is Benefesh. So why did Eberstein make the situation should be that way? What's the point? Why did Eberstein make that way, that the Kviyas is no longer Bisman but Benef?
Such as Bisman to work.
Yeah, Eberstein made it that way because the because there's a mile of a Kviyas Benefesh over Kviyas Bisman. Because the Kviyas Benefesh means that even when I'm working, I realize I'm working all day and I can only get in Paragraph and Shach and Paragraph. But what's important to me? What's real? What's my life about? That paragraph of Shachar's paragraph of Darvus.
Okay.
So every minute that I'm working, it's not a stira to the paragraph of Shachar's paragraph of Darvus, to the Krishna, to just saying Krishna in the morning, that my whole learning should only be the Krishna in the morning and the Krishna at night. Every minute that I work, the Rebbe says, is for the sake of the paragraph of Shachar's and the paragraph of Darvus. Geula means resolving the contradiction between the fact that everything comes from above. In other words, everything is ultimately magical and mystical. And the fact that the rules of the natural order of things was in effect. The way you reconcile that is living with these two realities. That on the one hand, everything comes from above. That's what the Rebbe says, that the ultimate Aveda today is the Chibur of Mumayla Lamata and Mumata Lamata. The Chibur Shneim Yachad. You look in all the series of Parshas Dvarim, of Chumash Dvarim, Tavshin and Aleph, the whole Elul, the Rebbe's Kachin Zech in this thing, the whole Elul and Aleph, the Rebbe's Kachin Zech, that there has to be an Aved M'mayel L'mata, M'mata L'mayel, V'chibur Shneim Yachad, that's good. V'chibur Shneim Yachad means, you're standing and screaming that Mashiach has to come 2 seconds before the Fabrengen is over, before we finish saying the sentence that Mashiach has to come, it should come already, so the sentence is already not saying he should come, but that he has come. Right? That's how the Rebbe talks. And yet, what's the real point? What are you going to do about it? After all that build-up, then the Rebbe would say, what are Achlat the Slipar that were taken from this Fabrein? And the Rebbe would say, Achlat is that one again, that you couldn't even do till after Shabbos. That's how you have to. You have to, the whole point of Gula is, the two realities, Das Elyon, Das Tachton, Zohar and Malchus, Ratzu V'Shur, L'mayel L'mata, L'mata L'mayel, Chibur Shneim Yachad. To live in practical terms, with that those dual realities are all part of one reality. The reality is that everything comes from the Eibush, everything comes from the Rebbe, through the Rebbe, from the Eibush, through the Rebbe, and you're nothing. And you're nothing but a bystander. and the reality that, that everything is up to you. And you have to make it happen through the system of cause and effect. You have to take responsibility that for it to happen, and you have to find the causes that will bring about your desired effects.
So making a flyer, okay, saying that, preparing everyone for Mashiach, that's not exactly how I was pointing to the one here. But then I don't want to do that because, I mean, the guy worked hard.
It's a beautiful thing.
Right, but see, but, but is that not, cause and effect? It's like, to say, to tell people about Mashiach and prepare them for it, even, and also add the line, okay, tip the scale, whatever, one more mitzvah you do. That's not cause, that's not like causing the effect that, that Abraham should bring the rule. I'm saying, in terms of, here's the funny, cause and effect, in terms of what, I mean, it seems to be Koach is not saying anything with, the about the Yevish, the thing about you. The Koach Nisan emphasis is, because emphasis of Koach Nisan is cause and effect. That that in order for the goal to be Shlemus, the Davka has to be from you, not from me.
You have to take responsibility
for
making the
goal. Like this by Mantara, the whole Indian in Parsha Kisisa, how in Tashin and Alnishin and Beis, how it was not yet, it was, well, they, all the, I mean, they had the Egel, but they didn't know, they were broken, right? Because they didn't, it wasn't, didn't come from them, right? The Indian, that's why the luchos broke, because right.
The whole point of gula is that you recognize,
right. So it has to be, so
you take responsibility. You take responsibility for the chet of the religion, you take responsibility for the chet of the ego, take responsibility for goals, take responsibility for everything, and you do something right.
So it seems to be that has to be, it's not like it comes to the Abish, but the dafka comes to the people, because that, in order for the gula to be bishleimus, it has to come to the people, because it's always the Abish, it's always the Rebbe. And when does it be, Gula, or when is it?
But it's also always the Abish, it's always the Rebbe.
But well, that's, to me, I
what would be the matter if Gula came out of the sky? What would be the point of the whole thing? The whole goal is, well, everything we do in the final level, we're supposed to, if we don't pull it, Mamash, to what we do, if we don't actualize it to what we do, so.
But
and like right now, the clouds
come
down, you know, cherry
signs,
did
everybody rock in. Oh, that's going to be great. I'm not against it. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I want to see, listen, I want to just as anybody else, if not more. I also want to sit back and watch it happen.
It's wasting the point then. What's the point of all this?
You missed the point of 5,700. 50 something years of existence, and 3,000 something years of Matan Torah, and close to 2,000 years of Galus. If you're nothing more than a passive bystander, or a somewhat aggressive passive bystander.
But where's the Abish then? So it seems to be the main thing of Koach Nisan, the main thing is just the people that they should accomplish. The Abish is already wanting to give the Gul, and the Rebbe is already holding on to the Gul. It's just about us. So when you're saying that it comes from the Abish, now I'm confused. I thought it was just up to us. Now what's the other factor? You know,
what's the other factor? That is us. That is us. And there's to see that what comes from us and comes from the Abish is the same thing.
So it's horrible that is. You know, it's
not us versus the Abish. What comes from the Abish is us.
These the Mashiach Suda that they've had, I remember like last few years, right after Gimel Thomas, remember the first one, it was like so powerful, everyone's sitting there like waiting for everything to reappear. I remember the first year they had, like, you know, everyone's like waiting to reappear in the chair, singing, dancing, watching it, you know, and the next day it didn't happen. I heard conversation people complaining, upset, it didn't come. And now there's, I think, people that they just call it, and so now they look at the chair, you know, is it be people thinking there's about to, here it comes, about to reappear.
It's still like that, still.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, it used to be. I think, of course, people come. It's coming further and further. So people are. I mean, I'm as one of them. I'm thinking about, but you know, people are not expecting as much. I mean, the first year, Tufshin, then hey, I mean, that was like.
It was all waiting for.
But it seems to me now. But it seems to me now that that's not.
It gets less and less.
Last huge fire. Everyone's talking about the thing, and then Daniel there's going to be after 1,100.
Of course it gets less and less.
But that's all over, forget it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until someone does something.
I didn't say that. I said you have to look at it, you have to take it as your personal responsibility.
It's
usually
the established person's responsibility. Maybe for a while.
even I said, less things like that come out of my mouth, but
The
Rebbe looked at previous generations and said, if they didn't bring Mashiach, it must be that they weren't doing something right.
The Rebbe said our generation.
So same thing, if it's been 7 years and Mashiach hasn't come, it's because we're not doing something right.
So,
we've been waiting and waiting and passively, whatever you want to say. Whatever that was, wasn't right. Because if it was right, Mashiach would have come.
So we should first of all pray
when a person, it takes personal responsibility. The longer the process is, the more determined they become. When people are waiting for things to happen, the longer it takes, the faster they lose interest. But when a person is involved in a project of doing something, making something happen, the more it drags on, the more determined and the more that person becomes.
I can vouch for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. So the millionaires are the guys who spent 15 years failing. 15, 20 years as failures, they're the guys who become millionaires. Those are the guy who got up every morning, 6 in the morning, and worked till 12 at night.
Time to make the donut.
Those are the guys. What's that?
Time to make the donut.
Those are the guys who make it. Guys are looking for a get rich quick, they're looking for magic. Occasionally it hits, rarely.
It falls out.
Which is what keeps up the illusion, in other words. Otherwise people wouldn't have, that's the Yetzirah that is able to keep up the illusion of convincing people you don't have to take personal responsibility by, you know, the occasional exceptions to the rule. But most of the people looking for the get rich quick stuff, to never make. The guy who gets in the room, make it no matter what it takes. I'm going to figure out, if this didn't work, I'm going to figure out another plan. If that plan didn't work, I'm going to figure out it's going to keep on doing. Those are the guys who make.
Is it a steer to want to go in shlichus or to go into chinuch? Is that a steer to the rather ever to get rich?
I consider what I do with shlichus and chinuch, and I plan on getting rich. I have plans.
But it's not
Alpi Teva. Very tough. You have some ideas of some. Yeah. Do I have Alpi Teva plans to be rich?
100%.
And you only have a little a little part of the picture. I have plans. Mama Shtach, I thought of the plans. No. Not at the expense of Shlichus HaKinuch.
No,
sorry, Mark. Not at the expense of Shlichus. As part of the Shlichus.
What is the cause and effect we're looking for here? I
want to live forever. That's what I want. You want to live forever? The Rebbe says, how you live forever? The Rebbe says, the way you live forever is by through a bit of an Afshikafel HaKavtiyah. That's what the Rebbe says. So what do you do about being an Afshikafel HaKavtiyah? So figure it out. I mean, it's not the... Spend the 10 minutes. 15 minutes, I don't know. What does it mean? What does Hasidus mean? It refers to the bit of an Afshikafel HaKavtiyah. What your most natural instinct to do is mystify it. Ooh, an afshikav lakotia, nefesh is this, and afar is that, and kail is that, and this, and ooh, wow. An afshikav lakotia basically means that, you live your life, you don't have to become egoless initially. It means you live your life like someone who is not self-centered, but other-centered. In other words, everyone, you just put yourself aside, and basically, your life is dictated by what God wants and what everyone else wants. That's like dust. What does dust? Dust is there to be stopped. So you want to live forever. The way you live forever is, forget about yourself. So, which there's a whole other kind of discussion that we've spoken about in the past. That kind of instinct of self-preservation that brings on our mortality. It's the instinct of self-preservation that kills us. As the Rebbe says, if you throw away your instinct of self-preservation, you look bad. That's the Rebbe says. Your instinct of look out for number one. When you get rid of that, then you look better. So we have in other words, what we're bringing down is a higher reality, internal life, into the cause and effect system. And it's very different than what the world sees as the cause and effect. The world sees as the instinct of self-preservation is what keeps you alive. Okay. But according to this, the cause and effect is that relinquishing the instinct of self-preservation is what keeps you alive. So we're functioning, we're bringing down a higher reality into the regular natural order and system of cause and effect. And
so go on forever.
That's one aspect of the gula. But we're talking about the gula itself. Like what?
So let's say I'm going to. The Rebbe addresses, now. You go through the Sichas, start. The Shmini, Tazri Mitzayr, you go through the Sichas. The Rebbe speaks in Tazri Mitzayr about the name of Rav and Melech, the Gilam of the Torah that comes from. The Rebbe says. The cause that brings that is by working on bringing down into understanding those aspects of Torah.
What about revealing the Rebbe in this role?
The Rebbe talks about Gula. Gula is Gaila with an Aleph. So what an Aleph means revealing godliness in all situations. So the Rebbe says, what does it mean? What's the cause of it? How do you reveal godliness in all situations? So you go out and look, take each situation, figure out. What would be a way to reveal godliness in a situation, in this place, in a situation?
How is it I'm going to make the difference in the entire world? And make the Rebbe should be revealing godliness?
You take your responsibility for your part. That's what the Rebbe said. It's not big things, it's small things that bring the good. You don't have to do... I didn't tell you that you have to do in every corner of the world. You have to figure out, you have a sphere of influence? What are you doing to see to it that these things are taking place in your sphere of influence, while at the same time, what are your plans for expanding your sphere of influence? Mm-hmm. You know, plan!